Blog Talk Radio.
And we're back. It's Professor Val here holding down the fort while Dr. Mark gets butt to the phone. So tonight we're going to be talking about The Sopranos, and we're going to bring some of our interesting dialogue in from our neurosemantics that we talk about, and we're going to talk about some of the characters in the show and how they interact and possibly how they could have better interacted. I'm going to wait for Dr. Mark to get here to do the theme song, because you know what happens if I do it a little early. He gets a little upset. He wants to dance. So meanwhile, is that you?
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful. Just going to play the theme song. I was waiting for you to get here.
All right, well, as usual, the whole thing went to, you know, where it always goes, and then the piece of do right before I got online, so go ahead.
Naturally, all right, here we go.
Yeah, animals, go ahead.
There you go.
Okay, I think we're up and away here. We're crackling along.
Yeah,
is it crackling to you?
Yeah, I hear it crackling.
That would be probably me.
Well, could you crackle to another phone there?
I think this is a good phone, believe it or not.
Try a bad phone.
Did it stop?
No. What? Wait. It stopped now.
Did it stop? Okay.
It did stop. What did you do?
Is it safe? I think I did something good, which would be a first this week.
Excellent.
I just saw your I am in there. Here I am. at about 7:58, folks, my computer decided I haven't had enough Ajita for the week, and that I should try to do something a little different and remove my internet connection right when I'm dialing into the room. So there you go.
That's great.
Here we are at Naked Soma.
You're crackling.
And the number here to call again. I know I'm crackling again. Why?
I don't know.
It stopped. This is not good. It's unbelievable. Did it stop now?
Not really. Well, all right. Nope. There it is again. Find a phone.
All right. You know what? I'm going to give the number, 646-478-4847, and I will dial back in a minute.
In the meanwhile, I think we'll play a little bit of the Sopranos theme song.
Yeah, kick us off, because this is Tony's last stand. It's probably mine, too.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
All righty. All right, now he hung up, and everything is clear. So we know for sure it was him. All right, guys, here it is. Get us in the mood.
All right, I'm back. I think I'm without the honker noise.
Okay.
I'm at the window singing. Is this the version from the show?
Almost. It's not the theme song, but it is the actual song.
There's a couple of versions.
Yeah.
That dude from, Natural Killers is the version.
Yeah, I heard that one. All right, I think that's enough. What do you think? Are we in the mood?
Oh, believe me, I'm in the mood to kill people. That's down.
All right, so we'll click that off, and Maybe we need to hear, a sound wave.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think, oh.
Hey!
Oh, wait a minute.
It's the Jepster.
The magical Philo.
That's
in the house.
All right.
From Candy Mountain.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
Val was about to anoint us with a sound file for the evening, so why don't you go ahead, press play.
Okay. How about the long-lost Mrs. April? This is a good one.
The President of the United States, for crying out loud? I mean, look what his wife had to put up with the blowjobs and the stained dress.
I'm going to miss this show.
Yeah.
Who was that? Oh, The View?
No, that's Mrs. April in The View. No, that's Mrs. April from, didn't she, that's the one that lost the original thing of the original boss of The Sopranos, right? It was Jackie.
That was The Sopranos thing?
Yeah,
yes.
we're doing a Sopranos show, so we're going to be Soprano-esque tonight with a lot of this stuff.
All right.
So,
well, shut the fuck
you
up.
Watch it, did you? I think by the end of this hour, I'm not going to be able to talk because I got so much going on this side of the phone. I'm literally, like, sitting here in a mess. There's literally, like, 360 degrees. Everything inside has not come outside, believe me.
Oh, my.
So let me give people kind of an idea what we're going over tonight, because if you're just tuning in to this disaster of Naked Soma, the show is current events, and the current event this week that we're really kind of focusing on is in the eco domain, and we're looking at the last episode of The Sopranos coming up and kind of taking a look and breaking down the central character of the show being Tony Soprano, who is eco. Now, what does eco mean? That's what I wanted to start off with, is that when you tune into the show, you're learning about what we can now call universal semantics, which is the common body language that everyone learns because we all go through the same four developmental steps. And the eco step it happens in the third year of life when you discover that there are other worlds, imaginary and sometimes sugar-induced, to explore. And if anyone's look at the show with Tony, he's afflicted with things like panic attacks and all kinds of things that take him out of a waking state into an altered state. Some of it's rage, but any type of altered experience that you have of reality is what we call eco, which is an attention to more than this world, to the surroundings more than yourself. And that narrative is up on the website at www.lightthepathlive.com. And you click on the self-profiler and figure out which one of these narratives kind of fits you. So what I want to do quick is just read through the eco profile this week so people get an idea what we're talking about. If you know Tony, and you can imagine Tony, and I'll do my best Tony impression here in a second, reading this narrative, he's describing himself. And just see how you can watch the character now, who you think of as the boss and as the leader and as this guy that's trying to, you know, run this family over there in New Jersey. But he's doing it with a lot of smoke and mirrors, which is why the whole show is about this sort of demise of this eco character. So here it goes. This is the eco narrative from our site. I place myself at the cutting edge and need a variety of activities to be at my best. I value and nurture my environments and enjoy many sacred and special places I go to mentally and physically. I can easily commune with others and feel a profound sense of dread when that's not possible. Tony's depressed, right? I'm a team mascot and thrive in group settings where I can improvise. Some would say that I'm overly flamboyant, but in fact I need to make some kind of overt gesture in order to know I'm fully interactive. My actions are my guiding force, and I'm very aware when I've gone too far, but I usually just keep going. I like being considered a maverick, an innovator, and a free spirit. More than anything, I want to experience the unknown and share it with everyone. Now when you see Tony and the depth of that character, you can kind of understand why this show is unique in the sense it's not the classic knocking the guy off the mountain or the little guy that rises up. And this is a guy who's had a very, very bumpy road his whole life. And looking at I think it's 70 episodes, this will make 70 episodes, the character's gone through a lot of things in the course of unfolding this. When you see where he is now, did we just lose Jeb?
I don't know. Jeb, did you fall off the face of the earth?
Is that coming out? I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
We're at that point now with examining him where he's more of a mirror for us and how we deal with you know, what's our secret world, what's our inner world like, and that's why him going to therapy and, you know, Val having a lot of experience on the other side of the, on the Melfi side of the coin. When you deal with an eco in therapy, what pretty much is going to be the game plan?
Oh, God.
Ah,
that's
tricky.
It's a good question.
Because how do you pin them down? They're too squirrely.
Yeah. They're usually the ones that give you a hard time. They're late. They don't show up. Change their appointments. You know?
Yeah. That's one of the reasons he got in trouble with Melfi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was missing appointments. They're showing lack of commitment,
yeah,
as she called it.
True. This is true. And a lot of not really tuning into what's going on during the therapy sessions, kind of taking off into a different plane. So, you know, you're talking to somebody and you're like, you know, you give them some advice or you ask them some questions to bring them to their own conclusions, and they're like, huh? After you've come up with this intelligent, well thought out thing, and then being an eco myself, I don't remember what I said. But I knew it was damn good when I said it.
Well, yeah, but we should probably just, you know, include that in. If the therapist is eco and the client is eco, don't expect a lot of
No.
A lot of, like, forward march during the session. It's not like we're going to walk through the rose bushes here. It's going to be a windy road in two directions, usually. I know from my own experience, I like working with ecos in private work because I can sort of identify where they're coming from when the world is attacking them and they feel that sense of almost perpetual sort of disequilibrium that they sort of get used to after a while, and they kind of ride those waves out. One of the things that you know, Tony's a very mercurial character. You know, he gets shot in the belly, he comes back. His son tries to commit suicide, you know, and he has to deal with that. Every setback he experiences, especially this season, has been so deep and so permanent. You know, people dying all around him, and he's had to force himself to go through it, and it's brought up more darkness inside him. So the eco is always in that mode of, There's obstacles on this course. They don't go into any situation thinking that it's going to be pristine and easy. Everything is basically raw, and it has to be refined. So they understand that part of it, and they tend to say, you know what, I'm not going to separate the obstacles from the course. I'm taking the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And that's why egos tend to be a little difficult when it comes to therapy, because they don't shun the non-believer, as Charlie would. Had to get that in. And so they tend to let the darkness just be the darkness. They don't forget the night, but they don't quite remember the day either, I guess. So here's our number again, 646-478-4847. Will Tony live or die? Do you want to see him live or die? You want those call in from last week with your prescriptions for Tony. A lot of Antos that watch the show, they'll take the side of Camilla, who's Anto on the show. And an Anto, again, is someone who's self-referential, who's completely absorbed into their own physiology. The surroundings is an extension of them, so they don't perceive other very well. And that's why when you see Carmella go through things on the show, it's usually how everything affects her first, and then how it affects somebody else second. And that's why when Tony gets shot, it's an affront to her security. When AJ tries to commit suicide, it's an affront to her as a mother. So it's always about, you know, her role in the situation and how it reflects on her. And that's one of the things that ecos and antos always discuss, usually loudly, is who is it about? And for the eco, who's tuned in more to the surroundings, it's affecting both people, and they have a tendency to not really understand that the other person's different than them. The anto, of course, doesn't recognize the other person in the room, so they don't understand why the discussion is about you at all. It's affecting me, and what are you going to do about it? So the eco, again, it's like the rule breaker and the rule maker. I always talk about it, where the anto's making a rule or a standard, and the eco just almost clumsily breaks it, not because he's getting any kind of jollies out of it per se, but because he just says, you know what? You just made that up, and I'm going to ignore that. And that's one of the reasons why Tony gets in a lot of trouble with his therapist and all these people that are very formal systems, because he doesn't think that the rules really are so set in stone. Everything's negotiable. And if you see, he could talk to an FBI guy one minute, and he could be talking to a crack addict the next, and he's always in a mode of conversation. The things are not cut and dry. That's why when Phil cut him off at the knees there a couple weeks ago, if you watched the show, he was in a situation where it was like, why doesn't this guy, you know, just give me a break? And that's when he brought the guy up from Florida. What's his name? Carmine Jr., right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's a philo, who has no chance of getting Phil to do anything. So it's when you watch the show with the domains on it and you kind of see where people are coming from, it's a little interesting to see how the characters behave, and they're very domain specific on the show. They bring in the right kind of character usually out of nowhere, like when we had last season when they had Johnny Cakes come in, with Vito Spadafora. It was the perfect kind of like segue to get him out of the show. It was like, okay, we're gonna take this. Here's Vito, who was thought of as a guy to be feared on the show. Remember when Tony got shot? He was wheeling and dealing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he's a guy that has all these dark secrets that made him basically persona non grata.
Mm-hmm.
And Vito, being a philo, ran away and in disgrace and tried to do things that for him were natural to him, but he didn't feel right about it. He was not comfortable with where he was. So all these things, all these inner battles going on in a show that's supposed to be kind of traditional testosterone, guns and violence, and it really wasn't. It was really more about the drama that was going on inside the characters' lives and how they related to each other. That's why I think it stood the test of time. This thing wasn't on a regular basis, so
right.
It was really difficult. If you didn't follow the show or really read up on it, I don't know how you'd go from season to season without losing your mind.
No. I think Hollywood should actually hire you to make sure that they're casting properly, because I think one of the reasons The Sopranos is so good is because they really did cast the domains and the characters perfectly.
That's intuitive, and I haven't really... I've seen Chase interviewed and things, and he seems a little exo to me when I see him interviews about the show, at least. I don't know if he's exo totally, but he just seems to have that skill of being able to put people kind of in their right configuration with the rest of the cast. I mean, there's so many aunties on that show, especially the women, which is funny because
By an ounce of self-respect,
form.
I would cut your dick off!
You mean like that one?
Yeah, like that one. and it's... And so it's like they're not hiding the fact that they're out there. The women are never. I mean, you don't very rarely see a shrinking violet on the show. I mean, even Meadow, who's onto, who's a milder version of Carmella, of course.
But she's much milder,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but upstream, I've seen some older shows that she's not so nice.
Mm-hmm.
So turning to our blog here as we get to the 8:20 hour, the part of the hour, I'm just going to play a little. Little of the post on the blog, because people get an idea of what Tony's about,
okay.
And then we'll come back. I don't know if we had any comments this week. I didn't even check. Oh, we have one. You can see what that was.
Oh, that's
go
me.
There. Oh, it's just you?
Yeah.
I love when we comment on our own stuff.
Yeah. Carolyn checking in from Minnesota. Hi, Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn.
She's a study.
Yeah, we got a lot of people listening to the show, and it's an archive. We need live people here, to talk to us. So it's weird. We have, what did you say, 76 or something before?
Yeah,
the last week's
near
show?
80. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Where are all you guys when we're actually doing the show? Anyway, here's what we posted on the blog. So take a listen to this.
Are you in the mafia?
Am I in the what?
Whatever you want to call it, organized crime.
That's total crap. Who told you that?
Dad, I've lived in the house all my life. I've seen police come with warrants. I've seen you going out at 3 in the morning.
So you never seen Doc Cusimano go out at 3 in the morning on a call?
Did the Cusimano kids ever find $50,000 in Krugerrands and a .45 automatic while they were hunting for Easter eggs?
I'm in a waste management business. Everybody immediately assumes you're mobbed up. It's a stereotype, and it's offensive. And you're the last person I would want to perpetuate it.
Fine.
There's no mafia.
Philo Gone
Eagle. Oh, there he is.
There he is. Hello, Jumpster.
Hey.
So now you can, I don't know if you heard that, but now you can appreciate what an Eagle goes through. Here's his aunt or daughter just calling him on everything, and he's like, there is no mafia. That was his response to the whole thing. And that's
pretty much
what he goes through every day.
Yeah.
I had to do the same thing with subluxation, but that's another whole show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there is no subluxation?
Absolutely
right.
Fucking not.
Good. That was good. That was Earth Dog Fred material right there. Again, the jump into the fray here, 646-478-4847, as we review and appreciate and reflect on the life and times of Tony Soprano as we wheel our way towards Sunday night, 9 o'clock, when all of America will be tuning in to see if this guy lives or dies. There's actually an article or a survey, I guess, in New Jersey about, you know, what they want to see happen to Tony, and it was funny because New Jersey's not exactly painted in the best light in the course of the show, and they were more receptive to Tony living than the rest of the country. If I can pull that up here while I'm working.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, New Jersey's it's a dichotomous state because, you know, just like Tony's family and his crew, they were sort of second fiddle to the New York family all the time, and you know, always thought of as an afterthought from the standpoint of the other families. And his New Jersey always in the shadow of New York, and not really looked at as a very honest state, look, how many guys did they buy off on the show, politicians, the Esplanade, all that stuff. And I just think it's kind of funny that the people in New Jersey, when they asked them, it was a 2-1 margin of wanting Tony to win. As far as tolerating the tone of the show, it says 90% of the people in New Jersey know the show was set in their state, which is, I guess that's pretty obvious. And let's see.
And it was 2-1 people from New Jersey that wanted him to live compared to people
they want
outside.
Tony to live. Yeah, the rest of the country.
Compared to people outside?
Yeah, the rest of the country, let's see. They even bothered asking the rest of the country that. They said, no, I think for the most part what they were going for here was what their relationship to the show was, and it said that 54% of people in New Jersey watched many episodes. They were regular viewers of the show. 30% of the country, regular viewers of the show. 42% of people in New Jersey thought that there was vulgar and offensive language, 47% nationwide. 24% thought it was kind of down on Italians, and only 27% nationwide. So it was like, it's almost like kind of like, I can make fun of my brother, but don't you make fun of my brother. So there was a sense of connection, I think, that Chase brought that to life. I think he grew up in New Jersey, and that's pretty much where he was coming from.
Yep.
That's what
I think that
about.
Happens a lot. But I also think and maybe before I shoot off my stupid mouth here, let me make sure that I have this right. What did they give a statistic on what people outside New Jersey wanted to happen to him versus people inside, or did they not give that?
No, they didn't. They just said they asked
because
people.
My point,
we don't know.
My point was in general was that I think if Tony was Otto, more people would want to see him killed, and I think that there is the fact that Zico, there's this empathy that people feel towards because that's what I mean. You know, empathy obviously is the rising mood of Zico, so it brings it out of people because they can see he's tortured, so they don't. This guy's had enough, you know. They don't need him to be offed because he's not running around being Otto. And if he was, well, I don't know, Philo. I don't know how it would go with Philo's and.
Oh, Philo would never be in this position because,
right?
You know, I mean, you look what happens to the Philos on the show. You know, Christopher gets killed by Tony. Bacala gets killed with the Lionel train in his hands. You know, you can just go through the list. The Philos are it's all like if you're playing chess. There's so many pawns. There's so many Philos. You could never let the Philo be the last person standing. It would be redundant. So it's going to always come down to the same battle it always is. The Antos and the Exos, it's almost like the king and the magician. There's always an Exo out there. This is why I was a little bit weirded out that they got rid of Silvio, who's an Exo, last week. There's almost, I don't even think, let me just check the list here. Let's see if there's an Exo that's left standing that could take out. If Johnny Sack was an Exo, he's gone. If there's an Exo left, see, Silvio's pretty much out of it. Melfi, I don't think he's going to be killing anybody.
Yeah.
The one Exo that's out there who could rise from the swamp and do something is AJ.
Well, that's something that I've been hearing on some of the message boards. I've been subscribing to some of the boards, is that they think maybe he's going to grow a pair and have to defend his family, and I don't know, maybe they'll leave it.
That would be to me one of the few threads or sort of like versions of this that that would make sense to me. He would be carrying on, you know, that would be Tony sort of, you know, he handing it down to his son, whole thing, because he saw what happened last episode when he was trying to, like, calmly get them out of the house. And what was AJ doing? He was doing his Philo best to knock it out. His Eco best, too. but he's actually, I can't do either one very well, to try to avoid responsibility, and I'm depressed, and he heard about the Bacala dying, and he wanted to go and cry and stuff, and Tony just, like, grabbed him and shook him and said, get a bag, and you're getting out of here. And it's like, maybe that's, I mean, didn't he try to go in and he wanted to kill Junior last season, right?
Yeah, he couldn't.
Drop the knife. So there's a lot of stuff going on with AJ, because you think about it, what's the most dysfunctional relationship in that house? Is it more Tony to AJ, or is it more the mother to AJ? Is it more Carmella to AJ?
I think it's more Tony to AJ.
Well, you got an Eco and an Exo. They're coexistent, and no one's going to take the superior role. But the family structure says you have to, and in that family, I mean, it's like cast iron. So you have a situation where he can't, the Exo can't bond, and the Eco doesn't stay still. So it's almost like you have this wiggly line, and you got this kind of flat zone. And that's why every time AJ acts up, it's almost like he's acting up out of sheer desperation to know what to do, because the Anto just keeps yelling at him.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of it's kind of funny that way.
Tell me how Paulie Walnuts is Philo.
All right, easy. What did he say last week about old school and tradition?
Yeah, I remember what he said. He was
remember when he got mad at at Bacala about, you know, did this get approved?
Yep.
Before they went
that.
And got the guys from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He is so loyal to whoever it is that's in charge, even if he can't stand them. Right. He tries to do other things. And he's got his Anto nature to him. He basically tries to be. He's sort of a beta, a Philo that can't get the alpha, and so he's always going to knock on the next dog down the litter.
You know that?
Play that one again. That was good.
All right, hang on a second. Here he is.
You're a wormy cocksucker. You know that?
See, that doesn't sound Philo to me, but yeah.
No, that's not what he's following. I'm saying when push comes to shove, when he's under stress, he's a loyal soldier. You know, he's been tempted by Johnny Sack. He's been tempted by New York a bunch of times. He's never turned on Tony. And look, he was right there. He was sitting in the house when his mother died. That's another Philo thing with him, with the whole mother thing.
Yeah.
You know, but he's not the strongest Philo in the box, believe me. I mean, Christopher, too, had a lot of Anto in him and would fly into rage. But he was all about this family thing, too. They were also into this family thing. That's the thing that's so funny about The Sopranos and about the whole nature of the beast there, is that they're indoctrinating, and they're putting so much into the word family that there's no way out. You're in this for life, you know. And everything is about trying to eliminate anything that bonding would be going on. You're not really bonded in this family. You're sort of bound by it.
Right.
You know? And that's why there's such a dark nature to it.
We have a caller on the
line. Oh, okay. Well, I think we have somebody on the line?
Yep. Take a
Let
look.
Let me go see. I think we do. All right, you are on the air with Naked Summer. Go ahead.
Hi, it's Anita. I'm in Professor Val's class.
Hey, Anita, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Me and my mom are actually listening right now, and we actually have a question. That I remember in class you were talking about these four different personalities that you have, and I was just wondering that if you're ever, like, through therapy, if you're able to change it, like, throughout or not, or do you just stay in one specific... Like, if you're a Philo, do you stay a Philo for, like, the rest of your life, or are you able to change?
Oh, that's a good question. Now, you are what you are, and what you want to do, no matter what your primary domain is you want to be able to move around to all the different domains as needed. So if you only act Philo, then you're going to miss out on a lot, and you're not going to interact very well with your environment. If you're Philo and you're able to onto when you need to, or Eco or Exo, then you're going to be more coherent, and you're going to be able to interact with your environment a lot better. Mark, you want to take some more on that?
Yeah, it's simple. It's not like West Side Story, where you're a jet, you know. It's not like, you know, and it's not personality either. Personality develops on top of this. This is biology. Your brain starts out basically with not a lot of connections in it. And so all you do is bond because your instinct is to survive. A Philo's instinct is, I'm in this relationship because not because I want to, because I have to. And that's why they get very clingy, because that's where the Philo comes from. It's like when you walk into, if I stuck you in a jungle, and there was you and a rhinoceros and another person, you would turn to the other person for help. You would not expect that person to do anything harmful to you. You would be worried about the animal.
Yeah.
So it's like you sort for your species first, and that's kind of like where Philo's come from. They sort for, you know, who's like me, who's with me. And then the next dimension is to say, well, I'm onto myself. I'm an individual now, and that's what happens in second year of life. If you've ever had a kid, terrible twos, second year of life. And we were talking about ecos tonight, and that's when the world comes in. So it starts out with it's me and these other people that are like me, and then there's just me, and then there's this whole thing called the world I have to go explore, which is what eco is, environment, eco. And then there's exo, which takes all three of those and goes, the heck with that, and I'm just going to develop a system to adapt, and I'm going to basically not be in touch with those three unless I absolutely have to, because my job is to be more technically oriented and to develop a way for all three of those things to work. And that's why when you look at the characters that are exo in this, they're not very humane. They're this sort of blank slates. They don't give you a lot on the face. They're very sort of ungiving, unyielding. You don't really get to know the interior of the character too well. And so when you exo something, you just make it so that it can be done. It's executable. And there's not a lot of hesitation. It's like I always think of the programmers when they say, quit, you know, on a program, quit. And you say, yeah. There's not a hesitation in an exo's life in the sense that they're thinking about consequences and ramifications. They're much more thinking about, is this the best path or is that the best path? And then they do it. That's why the Ontos get infuriated, because they have to have that emotional benefit, and they're guided more by their belief systems, where the exo will be guided more by logic and reason. So all of these dimensions are within an individual. It's just, like I said, it's more of a terrain you're dealing with. So that first, that primary domain is the one you internalize the developmental years, first 4 years of life, and after that, your job is to really fill in the other three. So hope we answered your question there.
No, you definitely did. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Bye, Anita.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call, yeah. All right. So I spewed myself on that one.
Philo making sure they're happy.
Yeah, about 10 seconds into that explanation, I went way too far.
Yeah, not at all. Well, they can't wait for you to get into the classroom and teach them a little something-something, so...
Oh, is that someone I'm going to meet next week? Okay.
Right. That's right. When are you coming?
Okay. Actually, I'll be appearing up in Manhattanville for summer school next Thursday, I believe, which is the 14th of June, sometime
okay.
after lunch.
Beautiful.
I think that's what we said, yeah, because we can't do it any earlier.
Well,
all right, again, we're now at the... Well, put that down, so I don't just walk in and you guys are doing something else.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
So again, the number here at Naked Summer, it's 646-478-4847. Getting back to Tony a little bit, I think you know, a lot of the stuff that I've read this week anyway, it's dealing more with sort of the societal end of this. Let's see if I can pop this up while we're talking. Is like, you know, what does this show say about, you know, the culture, that this got popular. Like, I guess in the 70s, you look at Archie Bunker and, you know, all these iconic characters. So I found this video that's sort of explaining, you know, Tony's predicament now. I don't know if it's going to play totally because it's kind of a pain in the butt, but let's see if it'll work. And it kind of gives you kind of like right up until the moment here of what's going on with Tony. Let me just make sure I get it booted up before I try and play it. I don't know why, but these Yahoo News things, they tend to get really skippy.
Yeah, they do.
Yep.
Did you get it?
Don't. It's doing its commercial thing now.
I see. All right. Well, while you're doing that, I just want to send a little love note out to LL.
Oh, yes?
Yeah.
Why the fuck would I ever trust somebody who would leave me holding my cock like this?
Okay. I feel so much better now.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, it's pretty good. I doubt he's listening, but, you know, we can always help.
Yep.
Yeah, let's see if this is on here.
Days, Tony and Brooklyn boss Phil Leotardo got along pretty well.
So now you're back. How about you straighten that family out?
Not for me, Anthony.
Obviously, health-wise. Being a boss is a young man's game.
But now with hostilities boiling between the two gangs, this week Phil ordered on Tony, his consigliere Silvio Dante, and top soldier Bobby Bacala. Soon Bobby was dead, and Silvio was gravely injured by Phil's gunman.
Well, I'm not taking a rap. Not completely.
But Tony didn't just lose his two most trusted associates. He also lost the reality check he's had since The Sopranos began, his psychiatrist, Dr. Melfi. Through the years, she stuck with Tony, believing she could help this homicidal career criminal see the light, or maybe she just thought he was an interesting professional challenge. In any case, lately she was plagued by doubt, worried that she was doing more harm than good.
I only suggested you reevaluate your work with Leadbelly or be prepared to deal with moral and possibly legal consequences.
Leadbelly?
Who's that? Come on. The answer is a female opera singer and gangster. Da 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 da.
Elliot!
Da, da.
Tony Soprano?
He's your technical word for ending therapy with a client is terminating. And without warning, Tony got terminated by Dr. Melfi.
You're telling me, after all this time, after everything we've shared in here, you're cutting me loose just as my son got out of the hospital for trying to kill himself?
Since you are in crisis, I don't want to waste your time.
Will Tony be terminated in a more all-encompassing way next week on the series finale? And here's another question. Will Dr. Melfi ever have another client as interesting as the one she's just lost?
Pretty much sums it up to the point, right?
Sure does.
Elephants.
Elephants. The hell was that? Yeah, we get a lot of scuttlebutt here on the IM, so I figure I might...
I always do.
What was that play that one again? You stepped on it there.
I got push you on the brain. I always do.
did Jeb take off? Is he still there?
No, I'm here.
He's here.
Okay.
I'm listening.
I just want to clear up some stuff, because we've been beating on every domain that comes out every week, and I want people to understand, unlike personalities, that people use personality profiles where the personality's fixed, and it is like a tattoo on you. The domains are fluid. We're in the domains. They're not in us. We're in them. We live in them. So we talk about a lot of things, with this work that he deals with the fact that your personality, whatever it is that's developed, is on top of and sort of rising up from this biological base that we're getting at. So all we're dealing with here is, at what point in the spectrum are you resonating with at this in this moment? And there's ways of lining up with it. So, and there is no sort of tried and true way of saying this is a phyla, that's an exo, all the time. But the thing is that what we look for is signatures. What we look for are things that are going to be representative of those domains because of the way that those people behave. And the first move for a phyla is going to be towards the relationship. The first move for an exo is going to be towards the system, the inanimate objects, the things that are going to be constant and utopian and there for 100 years. The eco is always going to tune into the emotional vibe of the room, the empathic thought, as Jeb was saying before. And that's just because that's how we get wired early on creates our worldview. And once you have, by 4 years old, 80% of that worldview is hardwired into your system, and that becomes what you perceive to be your identity. And what we're saying is that you can open that identity up by adopting some of these other points of view and starting to develop behaviors in those different domains. So that it's like, you know, Jeb's a phyla, but soon he's going to have six kids. I'm going to say that again. Six kids. Now, that's phyloing in the nth degree. That's black belt phyloing. But he can't be on an equal level bonding with them the way he would with someone that works for him or someone that he has an onto role being the dad. So it's like a lot of times with dealing with like someone like Tony, he doesn't welcome that boss role. He looks at it as a burden. Every time he has to be the authority, you watch him he'll start to go, he'll go, ugh, you know, he'll get all disgusted because he doesn't like playing that role. He knows it's a setup. He knows whoever's the boss, eventually someone is going to break it down. What was his quote, you know, his mother's quote? You know, I don't know if you have it there. It's all a big nothing, right?
No, yeah, I don't
have it. Eventually your friends and your family let you down and you die in your own arms.
Right, and then
you know?
He's got Carmella on the other end, and she starts her.
This is such a crock of shit.
You know, she's on him. He can't get away from it.
Well, we saw, like, before, I played that little clip of his daughter. I mean, she kind of outed him as being a mobster, and then we just saw what Melfi did to him in the last episode. She just kind of, you know, exos him right out the door. It must be, I don't know, in your experience, when a therapist or a doctor is an exo, I know this happened to Jeb a while back, and they're so, you know, precise and sort of almost like alien. They don't have a sense of humanity about them. And the way they communicate information that might be a little volatile. They just kind of say it. Yep, yeah, you got cancer. Looks like you're going to die in a week. You know, they just say it.
Yeah.
The way Melfi got rid of him, I mean, you could see that she was not really comfortable doing it, but she just kind of kept a stiff upper lip and got him out the door. And didn't give him any sign that he could, like, he tried. He tried to get her to be empathic, and she wouldn't do it. You know, and that's what I'm saying. For the poor sap eco that absorbs so much emotion from everything around them, everything is an emotional experience for an eco. You got to realize that, which creates a lot of highs and lows. It's a roller coaster. The road is never fully paved. We're constantly communicating from sort of a turbulent environment, and that's why it will completely upset an exo if it spills over too much, because it's like they don't want anyone messing with the salt shakers, you know, let alone get them to react. And I think that's one of the reasons.
Is Dr. Melfi,
Melfi's an exo, yeah.
Melfi is, she is exo?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Played by an eco, which is really weird. So there was a lot of almost palpable tension when those two were on screen together. You know, and the same happens when he's on screen just with Carmella. That's like a fight. That's like a night at the fights. You know, almost you can almost count down. As I watch a scene with just Carmella and Tony in it, you can almost count the 4 second windows until someone's going to pop. Sometimes nothing's said, and then it's like what? You know, it's like and because the eco's soaking up all the emotions of the unstated nonverbal, you know, death eyes that he's getting from the Anto, and it's almost like Eco will be prone to getting very defensive and sort of saying, like, you know, what did I do? Because they constantly perceive that they're in trouble, because they usually are. You know, it's not like a revelation they broke a rule. It's like, what? Okay, where is it? What's the fine? And one of the, I guess, the issues is in terms of what Tony's dealing with is that he's supposed to do that from a position of authority, yet he feels defensive. And it's tough to be a leader when you're always on the defensive. It's, you know, he kind of ran his crew that way over the years. And that's why it's like when you watch all these characters getting clipped off and you're left with Paulie Walnuts. He almost killed Paulie about 3 shows ago because
he wouldn't
shut up.
Yep.
That's another thing with the Philos, with all the gossiping. Oh, my God. It never stops with the drama.
And as far as characters go on the show, Chase is famous for making us think that one person is the bad guy. And then coming out of left field with somebody else who was like the rat or whatever. I think that's what he's doing with Paulie. I think he's really setting him up so that we all think that he's the guy that's on both sides, playing both sides. And most people, when you ask them, who do you think's playing both sides, they say Paulie. And I think we're going to find out that that's not who was playing both sides.
Someone told me the other day, you know, this is the 7th season, that this is the 5th time that people thought Paulie was going to die in the last episode out of 7 seasons. Because he's always doing things that, and everyone knows a Philo like this, a Philo that's a tough guy, a Philo that's sort of an instigator guy, but doesn't necessarily have a lot of control or influence, but is sort of that sort of kind of Philo that just like they sort of police they sort of enforce the rules that other people set, and they're sort of the yeah yeah guy. You know the yeah yeah guy in high school?
Yeah yeah.
They don't fight you, but they sit in the corner and they go yeah yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I always went after those guys. I could never stand it. I'll fight the biggest bear in the world, in the wilderness, when it comes to that stuff. But when the yeah yeah guy came in, I went right at him. I said I wasn't talking to you, you know, because it's because they have that tendency of just kind of piling on, and that's a lot of times you see with Paulie. He always felt that he didn't get his fair share. He always felt he didn't get a break. I mean, here's a guy who's been he's a contemporary of Tony's father, and he's an underling to Tony. because he's Philo. They could never give him a leadership role. He would always be... Philos are really prone to corruption when they have leadership, because they tend to want to make it like a family, and what happens, most families don't stay together forever. They tend to kind of filter out and spread out. When you're dealing with something like this, it becomes quasi-incestuous in a way. So the Philo has to constantly churn through all that stuff. And because Philos are sensitive to any relationship that involves breaking of bonds, they're not good on the way out. They get a little nasty. And everyone's seen that side of the Philo, or the dark side of the Philo, if you can get a little Pink Floyd about it. So, okay, we're at 8:45 at 646-478-4847, winding down the Tony Soprano hour here. And I'm just, I mean, Jeff, have you seen even 5 of these shows?
I haven't seen 1.
Oh, my God. So you don't know Tony from anything?
I have a pretty good idea from seeing clips here and there. But from a standpoint of knowing the characters, I mean, I maybe saw a couple of, 15 minutes of a show here and there, but
mm-hmm.
and then just reading about it. But I really don't. No, I'm friggin' clueless. But I could. But you know what? It doesn't take a lot to see. If you see a couple of clips and you know the four domains, everything you're saying, I can. There's a lot of cliches there. That's what if you really think about it, the cliches in our society are very often the four domains. It's these characters. It's these characteristics of the different domains. Like you said, you always know the yeah guy. Well, that's the Philo thing. And
yeah.
Cliches are because they're. And it's like it kind of back to that question that the Philo had there that called in was that when you look at these things and you always talk about they're fluid and they change and you are in the domain but you're not the domain, the domain's not on you. There's a sense of there's always this. It's almost like a deja vu. Like you see something, you go, "I've seen that before," and it's a characteristic of that four domain that's just underneath all those layers. Because what she was thinking was it was personality, and the personality is what's built on top of that. But
mm-hmm.
And I know that I'm sort of getting off the subject here. That's my eco-ness. But to come back to it about the four domains and the Sopranos and Tony Soprano is, I can hear you guys talk about these characters. You talk about Carmela being Otto. It's like, okay, I know what her character's like. I don't have to hear a lot more.
Yeah.
Because I've got a lot of experience there, and so it's interesting when you kind of coming from the perspective of not knowing about it, but how I get it by very simple descriptions there, and I think that I don't know. I was just thinking about it. If you looked at cliches in society that are a person does this, a person does that,
mm-hmm.
it's the four domains kind of revealing their.
Well, Marino's work in psychodrama deals a lot with that because it's like you walk in a room and you know who the alpha male is right away. I mean, it's a biological response. So, that guy's going to be probably onto or exo. It takes 2 seconds to figure that out, right? And when someone walks in the room and immediately assumes sort of a subservient role and sort of is very giving and allowing, they're the nurturing Philo. They're saying, welcome, come on in, because the Philo's job is to be receptive and let more people in because their thing is we're a school of fish. We're all together here. Where the ego is like always going to hang out at the fringe and say, I think the grass is greener over there. And, that's why when you walk into a mall or you walk into the bank or whatever, and you just are not, you're not necessarily looking at people. You're looking at patterns. And then the patterns become a tapestry around that person. And so you start to recognize that person through that. It's almost like getting someone's, a speed dial. And you can kind of like, really connect with them quicker because you know where they're coming from, what their perspective is. Now, the trick is to understand that your brain is updating that every 4 seconds and refreshing the screen, so they might shift. And that part of the somatic stuff is really lost on a lot of people because they tend to look at it, again, through the psychological filter of just self and self, self one, self two, self three. But it's the surroundings, the context that's driving it. If you're at a ball game and... You want to yell, you can yell. But you're in a library, you can't. Okay? What's stopping you in the library? You still have vocal cords, but the context, the surroundings is telling you, no, the social order in here is you talk in a hushed tone. So it's that type of a distinction I'm trying to make between personality and primary domain or somatics in general and psychology in general is that while psychology gives you some insight about the development of different levels of selfhood, somatics is giving you how that self is transitioning through time developmentally, and also how it's dealing with its environment in the moment. And that's sort of the distinction that universal somatics, as I'm calling it, would make on that. So that's, you know, hopefully that clears that up. So, all right, we're getting 8:50, so I think I'm going to go through some somascopes for the week as we cross over to the somatic summer, which starts on Friday, actually. So get your surfboard, get your somatic surfboard out. And we are going to the land of Exo next week.
Oh, good.
Yes. No shoulder on this road. I just had like 500 songs in my head. I just let them all go by. So I think we got a call here first. Someone's calling in. I'll do that, and then we'll do the somascopes. You're on the air with Naked Soma. Go.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you about one of the endings to The Sopranos that I heard about.
Is this Bonnie? Okay. Go ahead.
Remember when Tony was knocked out and was having dreams about being a salesman? Well, they're going to say that in real life he was a salesman and he was dreaming about all this mafia stuff. Ends up he's a real salesman, and all the mob guys were his customers. How's that sound?
If they do some type of Willie Loman Dallas thing, I'm
going
to throw up. I'm going to hurl in my living room at the end of the day.
Okay. Good night.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for calling in, Bonnie. And you're the luckiest lady I know today.
Bye-bye.
Congratulations. You know, getting back to that for a second, Kevin Finnerty, which is the name that he had when he was in the coma.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
Is that they're talking about that might be the name he gets if he goes into the witness protection program.
Interesting.
You know, there's a lot, like I said, there's so many ways of spinning this because there's so many unused threads. I mean, they're hiding out in that house, which it turns out, I don't think it was Junior's house. I think it's somebody else's house. I don't know what they said somewhere on the blog that it wasn't Junior's house. Is that the Russian's going to come back?
Oh,
you know, that was at the Pine Barrens, you know, because he's someone again that was Paulie and Christopher's. They were supposed to kill him over that money, right? And that was another thing with Johnny Sack that Johnny Sack wasn't supposed to find out. So there's so many. It's just like life. Not everything has an ending. There's a lot of dangling threads in life. There's a lot of dangling threads in this series. So it's funny that was the first thing I heard floated on Monday was, oh, it's all going to be a dream. I said that would be terrible. But season six, they had so many dream sequences because of the coma thing. You know, and then he took the peyote. I mean, who knows? Maybe he's in the dentist chair the whole time.
That would suck.
He comes out of it, it's just been one long root canal for 10 years.
God. All right, you got 6.5 minutes. Get him done.
All right, yeah, let's get the somascopes going here. All right, so we're looking again. We're going from, and if anyone is tuning in for the first time, you can go to lightthepathlive.com. We've got a moon tracker up there, and we also have the simples up there, which takes you through how to use this kind of pieces of information that I got going. But for the most part, each phase of the moon emphasizes one of the four domains. So we're coming out of the eco week, which is a rest week, which is when we start to kind of get a little bit of a breather. And for the most part, it's sort of a week where we can mutually kind of tolerate each other's space until we get towards the end of it, which we're getting towards now, and we start to go into exo and we get more suspicious again. Because exos are not comfortable around other people. Not so much because they're what they're doing, but because they're not predictable. Exos like things that are predictable, that are consistent, that are going to stand the test of time. They build utopian environments for themselves. So they're sitting there saying, okay, a fork was a fork 100 years ago, it'll be a fork 100 years from now. I like the fork. The fork is a good thing. And so when you're going from the eco environment, which is sort of diverse and turbulent and dynamic and sort of like the ocean out there, now you're getting back to sort of a mountainous range where there's the north side and the south side of the mountain. Everything's divided perfectly. When you look at the highway lines on the street, you know, that's the exo world. The exo world defines itself. So as we go out of the eco week and we get into next week, if you're an onto, you're going into basically the wind in your face. The ontos have the toughest time during the week because they are inherently suspicious of others because they don't know what the heck others are. So they're always trying to figure out, why is someone giving me trouble? Why are you disagreeing with me? Don't you know who I am? There's a lot of that going on with us this next week going on. So,
this discussion is over.
Yes, this discussion is over. As soon as they realize they can't get what they want, this discussion is over.
That's
so the answer was going to
today, and that was a
exactly fire. Yeah. Just roll it back. There it is. So it's one of those things for an Anto when they go into an exo week, especially the last week of last month of a season, is you're shifting orientations on two fronts, and we're going from spontaneity, which is what we had this week, back to security, which is the interface. So you're going from communicating to completely from the environment to completely from yourself. So an Anto might feel a little sense of disidentification. They don't that people don't recognize them. Their authority is not coming from the role they play in people's lives. It's coming from their merit. Like, did you merit that authority or did you just assume it? So people are going to kind of call them on the carpet a little more than they used to, and they're not going to like it. So their suspicion is going to come from the incredulousness. A lot of that face the Anto gives you when they go, you know, that affectionately known as the Nick of Please face will be coming over them. Their continence this week. They're not going to believe that someone is defying them. That's sort of the environment that they're moving in the somascope sort of vernacular, okay? So that the Philos, on the other hand, when suspicion comes in, they're the great explainers. So what Philos do is they'll connect the dots a lot next week. So they'll be feeling like acquaintances that aren't friends will be introduced to other acquaintances who are closer to being friends. So it's going to be sort of like the palsy-wowsy week for the Philo. Who feel a compulsion or sort of just an overriding urge to knit together the outside fringes of their Rolodex. So it's like, you know, you get towards the end of the school year and you start meeting a mom maybe you didn't know at the beginning of the school year, and now you kind of know, well, what are you doing this summer? Lots of small talk for the Philos this week. Ad nauseum, have fun, leave us alone. Because it's going to drive me nuts. But that's what, because we get close to Father's Day, we move through this week, because it ends on the 14th of June next week, actually, when I'm over there at the school.
Uh-huh.
Ecos this week, again, you're going from empathic and sort of open and tolerant to the snapshot clam of the exo. So for the eco, it's going to seem like door slam after door slam after door slam.
Great.
So their job is to say, instead of going out for my answers, I got to go in. So for the eco, the job is to tune into other avenues of perception, their dreams, meditations, whatever. Get your rock out, whatever, get your magic eight ball out, and don't rely on people, places, and things for a lot of coherence this week. It's going to come from the inner world, because that's where you can take this belief to a place where it can work for you. And of course, exos, which is why they work. Like I said, their job this week is sort of to come in as the rogue grader, because we're starting a new season, and everything that's settled in you will now start to circulate. So the exo's job is to start to build collateral pathways, secondary roads, all these ways of giving you another outlet, almost like they're whittling away all the barriers. So the exo's job, like a little termite, is to just kind of chew through the whatever the barrier is, whatever the boundary is, and give you another portal of light to express yourself. They don't care what goes through that portal. Their job is to create it. So that's sort of the way the four of us are going to go through next week. As we get to EXO, we can start the somatic summer. So.
Well, that's interesting, because my EXO is starting a new job on Monday. It's perfect time for him.
Yeah, perfect time. Just avoid the coffee room with the Philos gossiping, and he'll be fine. All right, so we're getting close to the top of the hour here, and I'm not sure how much time we have left.
We have about 60 seconds, and I have two songs we can go out with. You can pick one. We can either do the Sopranos theme on the way out, or we have an Alexis Tyler remix.
Oh, I think we should go with that moving forward. But just want to remind everybody, on July 4th, we're going to do a show on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock instead of 8, so we can all catch the fireworks. So we'll be reminding you about that. Make sure you visit the Light the Path Live site and also thenakedsummer.com. We're going to be getting our audio forums up next week, maybe the week after, I'm not sure. But we'll be back next Wednesday with more, with our post-Soprano show a little bit. And we'll be talking EXO. So we'll check out the blog on Monday. And thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next week. Travel light through the darkness.
Nice show, everybody. See ya.
Alexis.
Hit that bottom. That's it. We're off.
Hit that bottom. Where the jackrabbit hit that bottom. work in the middle, school of the bottom, work in the middle.